From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, a new battle for control of the Alamo. The Daughters of the Republic of Texas are fighting to maintain their control over the historic battlefield.
The Daughters have been there, and we have no intention of leaving.
One Texas rebel is looking to evict the Daughters, she says, to protect the Alamo.
You can't say, well, gee, I'm wonderful just because my grandfather was. No, I want him out.
And Texans could soon be able to get a DIY, do-it-yourself, divorce. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mexico is swearing in a new president this weekend. Enrique Peña Nieto won the office in July, and he gets a 1 6-year term. He inherits a nation that's suffering from a long and bloody conflict against narco traffickers and an economy that's improved, but it's still anemic. On this side of the border, Mexico watchers are hoping Peña Nieto will be the pragmatic problem solver that he promised to be during his presidential campaign.
Well, it is my great pleasure to welcome President-elect Peña Nieto.
4 days before he was to become Mexico's president, Enrique Peña Nieto was in the White House, sitting next to President Barack Obama. And under a clatter of camera clicks, the two exchanged the traditional binational pleasantries.
And I'm very confident that I'm going to establish a strong personal as well as professional relationship with the president-elect, who I know has an outstanding reputation for wanting to get things done.
Peña Nieto, speaking through an interpreter, endorsed the push for U.S. immigration reform, but stuck mainly to the theme of improving business relations.
And we also share a very important vision. The vision, for instance, of creating more jobs. We know this is very important, not only for the American people, but also for the Mexican people.
Peña Nieto will be walking into Los Pinos, Mexico's White House, with an ambitious agenda of business reforms. And there are also high expectations for the former governor of the state of Mexico. He is a member of the PRI party, which up to 12 years ago was, for the most of last century, the sole dominant ruler of Mexico. The telegenic Peña Nieto won the presidency with just 38% of the vote and under a cloud of suspicion of electoral fraud. Nevertheless, on this side of the border, there's plenty of hope for Peña Nieto, particularly among the business community and particularly regarding the drug cartel violence along the border.
The violence, I think, is a sideline item that will be taken care of. I think this particular president is very serious about that.
Nelson Valdido is president of the Border Trade Alliance and has been working with Peña Nieto's presidential transition team on border trade issues. He says commerce with Mexico has been booming, but the well-publicized cartel violence has been a drag on doing business there.
Well, I'd hate to even think that he's going to broker a peace with drug cartels.
But there is widespread expectation that that's exactly what Peña Nieto will do. Trying to take on the drug cartels directly was the failed strategy of outgoing President Felipe Calderon. Over the last 6 years, it's killed over 60,000 people. Meanwhile, parts of the United States are moving forward with some drug legalization. And according to Congressman Henry Cuellar, that's sparking some uncomfortable conversations with Peña Nieto's transition team.
And they're saying, hey, you know, here you are in Colorado and Washington State, you're legalizing marijuana. In our country, there are people that are being killed every single day. And we're getting mixed messages from the U.S.,
Cuellar represents the border city of Laredo, Texas, and is rumored to be on the short list to be Mexico's next U.S. ambassador. He says Peña Nieto is not about to wave the white flag to the drug runners, but the incoming president is focused on creating a more fruitful business climate in Mexico, and that means stopping the border bloodshed. Richard Perez of the San Antonio Chamber of Commerce is another border business booster. He claims if Peña Nieto can reduce the drug war disruptions, then foreign investment will pour in, cross-border manufacturing will skyrocket, and Mexico can fulfill its promise to be the new China.
The country of Mexico in general has been so beaten down by the drug violence, and there is hope that this new president will bring a fresh new direction to that battle.
The key word is hope, because Peña Nieto hasn't been forthcoming with details about his plan to deal with the drug lords, other than to promise peace and to talk vaguely about changing tactics. The drug cartels are also expressing hope. There are reports of banners popping up in cities in Mexico, posted by the drug cartels, that say they're looking forward to the next president and bidding a fond farewell to the outgoing Calderon. In Texas, there is no more iconic location than that of the Alamo. Located in downtown San Antonio, a pilgrimage to the cradle of Texas liberty is practically a sacrament and a requirement for every Texan at least once in their life. Of course, this is where in 1836, frontiersman Davy Crockett with a band of volunteer defenders fought to the death against overwhelming Mexican forces who were seeking to prevent Texas independence. It was in 1905 that the Daughters of the Republic of Texas were given custodial control over the Alamo by the Texas legislature, but that is no longer the case. In the last legislative session, after revelations that the DRT weren't maintaining the Alamo and it was in danger of having a roof collapse, the state revoked the DRT's Alamo custodialship and transferred it to the General Land Office. Recently, after an 18-month investigation into the DRT's Alamo operations, the Texas Attorney General's office released a report that blasted the organization, citing mismanagement, neglect, and even criminal misconduct. We're going to hear from the DRT's President General and also from the DRT's harshest critic who started the AG's investigation. But first, San Antonio Express News staff reporter Scott Huddleston has been covering for years the twists and turns of this epic story.
We've written about the problems with the roof, the issues with fundraising, the cracks in the roof and the leaks, the fact that there were engineers' reports that weren't followed up on for years. But there's more explicit detail about misuse of state funds to pay legal fees and to repay a debt to William Morris, which was the marketing firm that the daughters had contracted with. They later canceled the contract. They were still in debt to that company by the sum of about $150,000. And so apparently they made a few payments to that company using some state funds, roughly in the tune of at least $20,000.
Is that the criminal element that not being prosecuted?
That's the misappropriation of state funds that has been alleged in the 38-page AG's report. I'm thinking approximately around page 27 or 28. I've become pretty familiar with that report by now.
Is that the only thing in there that is criminal or alleged to be criminal?
Well, there are some, I don't know if you would call them, criminal.
Well, they've gotten some sort of amnesty promise not to be prosecuted.
Right. Basically, the report says that since the legislature has taken remedial action and removed the custodianship from the daughters, reassigning it to the Texas General Land Office, that no further remedial action was planned by the AG's office. In other words, that they would not be filing a lawsuit.
A get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, I'm sure that the daughters wouldn't care for that. Those terms used to the in this situation.
Well, if it was anybody else, if you misappropriated state funds, you'd either have to pay it back or you'd go to the Huskow.
Right, and that's part of the controversy of all of this. I get a sense that it's not over yet, and we don't know what the legislature is going to do, what the public reaction will be, whether there will be an outcry in the public. The daughters are still running the day-to-day operations, as you know, under a state contract, which will expire middle of next year. And so what is the legislature going to do? Are they going to renew the contract? That remains to be seen. And the dust hasn't settled from all of this.
The messy item seems to be who owns what at the Alamo. There are artifacts that the daughters say belong to them, and then the state may be thinking these are actually belong to the state of Texas because they belong to the Alamo.
Right. I believe that there are some 6,000 items that have been inventoried or are in the process of being inventoried, and I'm getting, one side says one thing and the other side says another, but the AG's office has alleged that the daughters have improperly claimed that some items belong to them. However, the AG's office says that unless they can provide documentation that that's the case, then anything donated to the Alamo belongs to the state.
But that's the issue. People may have donated things to the daughters thinking that they were donating it to the Alamo, not aware of the subtleties.
Right. And so basically the land office, which now is the custodian, is, you know, working with the daughters on the inventory, asking for documentation, and, you know, unless there's the documentation that it belongs to the daughters, it's assumed to belong to the state.
This contract that you mentioned, if that's not renewed, then the daughters would be basically evicted from the Alamo?
Well, I don't think that they would be kicked out right away. I think that the terms in place would remain in place, and until the land office would find maybe a private contractor or another group to put in a proposal, I think that the daughters would continue to operate month to month. But it really remains to be seen what will be done by the legislature. I know that Senator Vandepute, who sponsored the bill that reassigned custodianship in 2011, wants to have some extensive discussions about what kind of a hand does the land office have over there, and she wants to be sure that they have a strong hand on the operations, keeping an eye on the situation, working with the daughters, and making sure that everything is done above board and according to the high standards that we would all, I think, expect there at the shrine.
How will this change on the ground level? Because, the Alamo, huge tourist attraction, one of the most recognized landmarks in the nation. People come there. Will the experience of going to the Alamo change? Specifically, will there ever be an admission to be charged to go into the Alamo Church?
I don't think that anybody wants an admission charge at the Alamo. Some people would rather that they do institute an admission charge rather than, see the structure crumble. But I think the general feeling is that everyone is going to try to work hard to create a fundraising situation where there can be capital funds available and an endowment so that the structural preservation needs can be addressed. Restoring and preserving the facade of the Alamo Church is a high priority, and also just making sure that the roof remains intact, not just the church, but also the long barrack.
Well, in the next legislative session, they're talking about $1 million budget item for preservation of the Alamo, which is the first time that's happened.
Right, they're talking about repairing the roof of the long barrack, which is really the oldest structure on the site, and they need to do some computer upgrades and some sidewalk repairs and some other things. But that would be just a one-time expense from the general revenue of the state.
And I'm sure there's going to be more stories to come on this. You'll be busy.
Well, the preservation fundraising is a huge issue. And having the credibility that you need to do something like that is an issue moving forward. And with this damaging AG's report and the daughter still being there as the day-to-day contractor, that's going to be hard to negotiate. How are they going to be able to raise the funds that are needed, the millions of dollars, to keep the preservation moving forward? And the daughters have said that they will take a look at this report and in earnest try to, study the recommendations of the AG's office and make adjustments to their organization and do what they have to do and remediate all of these kinds of questions. But we'll have to see if that happens.
Scott Huddleston is a staff reporter for the San Antonio Express News. He's been covering the battle over the control of the Alamo. On Tuesday, the Daughters of the Republic of Texas released their official response to the Attorney General's Office report. It said it will use the report as a learning tool. I spoke to the DRT's President General Karen R. Thompson about the report, and she made it clear that the Daughters, like the heroic defenders, aren't going to surrender the Alamo.
Well, our reaction is this is something's been worked on for well over 2 years. So basically, the information that's in there has been, if there was any deficiencies or problems, we've corrected them. Our board has changed. Our management has changed. I wasn't involved back then, even though I've been in 36 years and have been back on the board for 4 years. So we just took, you know, major revisions and said, we can always make things better, and we're doing that. We're going on 108 years at the Alamo, and so we have a great partnership with the General Land Office, and we look forward to continuing that partnership. Our organization's 122 years old, so we have many, many projects besides the Alamo, of course. And for instance, a big campaign of ours right now is the establishing a Republic Village next to the French Legation in Austin. Our headquarters are in Austin, so most of our activities are in the Austin area.
One of the observations that was in the report was that there's some confusion about artifacts that belong to the state of Texas and artifacts that may belong to the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. So how will y'all be able to sort that out?
There is no confusion, and I don't know where people got that, because we have always kept Alamo state things separate. The inventory has always been there. We have presented that inventory to the comptroller every year for probably 80 years, at least 70 years. And then the daughters' materials are either at the daughters at the library or the Alamo Mission Chapter. So if a current member for them had some problem, which she has now understood, oh, I misunderstood, and we don't have a problem, then, you know, that's the issue. But we have three inventories there, and they are all very precise.
The report had a lot of high praise for the volunteers and the members of the rank and file of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas.
Well, they need to. We volunteered and did the Alamo 106 years without any help from anybody. No state dollars, no tax dollars, no anything. So, you know, and of course now everybody is saying, oh, in the future it might not be able to be done so free, you know, because we do have an operating partnership, but, you know, it's a business agreement. It's not, even though we're still there free and still operating the library, which has always been free to the people of Texas to do research. So, you know, there's already, you know, we're requesting the legislature for some money. So, but we did it all those years, you know, without any help. So we're just looking forward. We want to continue our relationship there. The daughters have been there, and we have no intention of leaving. And however we can best facilitate that and be there, our number one issue is the Alamo. And every issue, we just say, does that benefit the Alamo? Then that's what we're going to do.
Karen R. Thompson is the President General of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. She is responding to a scathing Texas AG report about their stewardship of the Alamo. Here is an excerpt of an official letter from the DRT dated August 2010, signed by Karen R. Thompson and addressed to Sarah Reevely. This is to inform you that pursuant to and in accordance with the bylaws of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, Article 1, Membership, Section 10, Termination for Cause, we, the undersigned members of the Board of Management, do hereby present to the Board of Management an application to expel you from membership in the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. The letter goes on to say that Reevely was circulating divisive, libelous, slanderous, and or defamatory statements or publicity and causing a hostile work environment for volunteers and employees of the Alamo. What Sarah Reevely did to become permanently expelled from the Daughters of the Republic of Texas was file a complaint with the Texas Attorney General's office about the DRT and start this whole mess, and she isn't done yet.
I was angered at the fact that they weren't doing any preservation. My background is in architecture and interiors, and I read over that master plan carefully, and I was just floored at what hadn't been done. And then when I asked them about it, they wouldn't give me any information. So I decided to I'm one of these people that always goes a step up, go to the boss when the underlings don't answer you, and their boss was the Attorney General, so that's who I sent all the information to. It was pretty simple, and I had been floored that no one ever else did it before.
You are officially branded in Texas as a troublemaker, and you opened up a can of worms that is continuing to wiggle across the state.
Well, that's right, and I'm not going to stop until they're gone, because my complaint very clearly, stated that, because it's really cool the way the Attorney General has this done, and they say, well, what's your complaint, and then what do you expect to happen, or what do you want to see happen, and I want them out.
You want the DRT, Daughters of the Republic of Texas, completely out of the Alamo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're incompetent. They don't belong there. I realize that the wonderful past history they have, but that doesn't mean that they should stay there. The management, with what they've done, you can't say, well, gee, I'm wonderful just because my grandfather was. And no, I want them out. The big problem is everybody else wants them out too, and nobody's donating any money. And that's why they have not been able to raise any money. It's a bad situation.
Attorney General's office puts out the report that says that there's a tremendous amount of dereliction of duty as far as maintaining the Alamo. And the daughters respond by saying, okay, now we've fixed it. We're now on the right track. And just leave us alone, and we'll set it right.
Well, what's to say they're going to set it right, and does that wipe out all the wrongs? They're being two-faced, and they're continuing to be two-faced, and they don't belong there. They certainly don't represent a loyal Texan that's concerned about the Alamo. And as a Texas woman, I'm offended.
And what would you like to see happen to the Alamo? Do you think that the Texas General Land Office would be the appropriate steward for that, or should another nonprofit take over? How should it work?
The Texas Land Office or any other group would be fine. The Historical Commission does not want them and made that very clear to me. But I think the Land Office would be fine, and the way it's running now would be okay. They've learned a lot in the last few months, and I think that it needs to be another nonprofit or a professional organization that knows how to run a national landmark like we have.
Well, I mean, right now the Alamo is not at the standards to be recognized as an actual museum. Do you think that needs to be a goal for the Alamo?
Yes. The daughters have never wanted to join any of the that museum organization, because they didn't want anybody to tell them what to do. And now they're the 1936 museum, there are only 9 centennial museums in the state, and they quickly turned the museum into a gift shop, and I think that they should consider turning that back into the Alamo Museum, if they can straighten out who owns what items. That's another big problem with who owns the artifacts.
The Alamo, such a big part of Texas history. The question, we got to keep these things available to next generations, 100 years
Absolutely.
From now.
Absolutely. We are merely caretakers.
So your intention is to see the daughters completely removed from the Alamo. Do you see that happening now? Are we moving that direction incrementally?
I don't know what's going to happen. To me, the legislators don't want to do anything. And to me, it's going to take the public to come up and say, look what's going on here. This needs to be taken care of.
Sarah Reevely is a permanently expelled member of the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. She filed the original complaint to the Texas Attorney General's office about the DRT that led to them losing custodialship of the Alamo. The Texas Supreme Court is trying to make it easier for people who want a divorce. They have approved do-it-yourself divorce forms. Attorneys who practice family law aren't too happy with the DIY divorce option. Steve Bresnan is an attorney and a lobbyist for the Texas Family Law Foundation.
Well, the concern is trying to handle your own legal matter in the nature of a divorce is a dangerous thing to do. We need to be focused on trying to find legal help for people rather than just giving them some forms and patting them on the behind and sending them on their way. It's not fair to the person, and we're afraid it'll lull people into a false sense of complacency, and they'll end up harming their own interests.
So with the way that I understand this has been put forth is that if it's an uncontested divorce and you don't have any children and you don't have any property to divide, then you can fill out some papers, pay a filing fee with the county, and bada boom, bada bing, you're divorced. Is that how it's supposed to work?
No, sir. It's not how it works. There's a full legal process associated with divorce. It doesn't just happen, and this is not making divorce an administrative process. A divorce is a lawsuit. There's a petitioner and a respondent. And in the course of that, there will have to be a full accounting of the property of the marriage and any separate property that each one of the parties might have. And the parties have a right to a just and right distribution of the property.
48 other states have similar do-it-yourself divorce forms, and so kind of Texas does not. So how are they able to make it work?
Well, 48 other states have an income tax, and Texas does not, and I don't believe any of our Supreme Court members are advocating an income tax for Texas. So the fact that 48 other states have done something is irrelevant to us. Texas is a community property state, and you have a right to a jury trial on almost every issue in a divorce.
Some people are going to say, of course, the lawyers are going to be opposed to this do-it-yourself divorce because this is income.
Well, if the forms are supposed to be for low-income people who can't afford a lawyer, then by definition, lawyers won't lose any money. And the lawyers that I've talked to are unconcerned with that aspect of the issue. If there's somebody out there that loses some business out of it, in the great scheme of things, that's not going to register on the radar of, you know, most professional lawyers. And besides that, that's the easiest thing to say in the modern environment. Is that, you know, lawyers are greedy. If you can't win the argument on policy grounds, you can just say the lawyers are greedy. So, you know, if people have that attitude, that's, you know, that can be their attitude. But that won't change the fact of the lady who ends up without her car, without her retirement that she's due. That's our problem with it.
Steve Bresnan is an attorney and a lobbyist for the Texas Family Law Foundation. He's opposed to proposed do-it-yourself divorce in Texas, recently approved by the Texas Supreme Court. The public can comment on the proposal till February 1st. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. I'd like to welcome a new Texas public radio station to the air in the Texas Big Country, KTPR, covering Snyder, Sweetwater, and Big Spring. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past Texas Matters programs online at tpr.org, and you can subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.